हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So Sakriya Sar, then we're in the wedding ceremony and on this section, the first Pani Grahana. Grahana. Okay, so now the groom is presenting the upper and lower cloth, which are new and washed, which she should accept. Right, so then he gives to her and she accepts them. Presenting the lower cloth, the groom says, "May the goddess who cut, wove, and stretched the cloth and sewed up the hems clothe you with long life. O woman, blessed with long life, put on the cloth." Presenting the upper cloth, he will say, "Bestow to her cloth, give her long life, 100 years. Noble woman, live 100 autumns, and while you live, bring spiritual wealth to your husband." Right, so here is then we're seeing that through these aspects, you're giving the cloth and all that, but we see here that it's a blessings, you know, for the that she will always have, you know, these nice facilities and that personal facilities like that, and also she'll have them for a long time, for 100 years. Right, so this we see is his blessing to his wife, and then later on in the ceremony, you will see that there's some place within the wife gives the same blessings, or you know, the desire for his benedicts, the same prayers. So here's like prayers for her long life, and she'll do prayers for his and that. And so then she, you know, may always have all these different elements like that. And so then the cloth also then is, you know, something your position, you know, you dress according to who you are. Right, so it's very much part of the identity in the way that means the secondary identity. Of course, primary identity is always servant of Krishna, but in the secondary, you dress according to what is your position in society, what is your age, you know, what is your relationship, what you're doing. So you always do like that. So may that one always act appropriately and everything like that. That will also then come from all this aspects you know, being the cloth being protected by it. So, because it says if you protect Dharma, Dharma protects you. Right? So then we have Sindur Danam. Then he should put Sindur on her forehead, saying, "Flashing like the sun, like streams of rushing water, strong and full of life, the streams of ghee fall upon the fire, like fast steeds carrying the offering, breaking through all obstacles. The ghee swells and waves, dissolving the wood." Right? So then we have this point is that flashing like sun, it means it's bright, you know, it's pure, and that like streams of rushing water means that there's one you can take it is that there's so much amount of it, the ghee, so much ghee is being offered in sacrifice so that yajna is always being performed. Everything that one's doing in one's life, one's seeing it in the context of how to do everything as a sacrifice to Krishna. And so this is constant, right? So streams are strong, full of life. So it means there's commitment to it. When it's not being done as a ritual, it's being done because this is what it is. So then the same way, the Sindur Danam also then indicates the aspect of being married. And so then wearing the sindur, then that shows the aspect of how being committed to always engaging in once in these activities of doing things nicely, you know, to please Krishna like that. And like fast steeds carrying the offering, so it means it's a very effective way, so through sacrifice and everything, this very effective way to please the Lord and breaking through all obstacles because they are strong, full of vigor. And that we see it's based on like compared to water. So as I said, that's like your relationships, the experiences that are there, the exchange that's there, the taste that's there. And so based on good relationships, solid relationships, solid, you know, interaction, solid affection, all these things, then it will all run very, very nicely. That will break through all obstacles. And so the ghee swells and waves. So it means it's always ever increasing, that the more and more you do sacrifice, the more and more you can do, more and more ways you do. And dissolving the wood then is taken as the element that's what's being used. So it burns up all the, you know, whatever is there with our material conditioning, our material concepts or all like things like that. By sacrifice to Krishna, then all these things get dissolved like that. And so we're just left with the element of pure devotional service. Right? The groom should lead the bride to the fire and say, Soma gave you to Gandharva. Gandharva gave you to Agni. For the highest wealth and sons, Agni has given you to me. Right? So here is that Soma is the moon, right? So then he's in charge of the mind and all that. Mind then comes from the mode of goodness, we can see, you know, in the creation. And the moon is the controlling of that. And also moon is the, is Aniruddha, the potency of Aniruddha. You know, that of actually obtaining your goals, obtaining the proper, you know, understanding and direction and all that. And so then by that, then you have the proper attitude, then Gandharva, gave you to Gandharva. So Gandharva means then there'll be all the fine points and everything like that. Like it said, like a Gandharva, one of the, means that you're different kinds of Brahmins. A Gandharva Brahma is one who knows all the fine things, you know, the fine smells, fine tastes, fine things like that, that'll be there in the house, you know. You know, the fine cloth, how everything's arranged, the aesthetics, and all those elements will come. So then one has that aspect of the mode of goodness and all, and performance of duties, knowing what is the actual goal, what you're supposed to attain. So there's a focus and you know what you're supposed to do. Not that it's just that, you don't know, oh, who am I? What should I do? I have to find myself and all these kind of things. He said, no, we know we have our duties and we do those and we're doing those, as it said, in the sacrifice to please Krishna. And so doing those things then is there. And then within that, now it becomes refined. It has that artistic side to it. So it's not just the theory or not just the jai ritual. It actually has also the element of the art there. So that becomes then the proper science and all that. So putting those two together, then we see is that, then you have something very refined. Like the husband, you see, he might be more caught up in the rituals and this and that, but she'll bring in more of the refinement element is there. Ideal is that they would both be able to appreciate that. Then Gandharva gave you the Agni. So the Agni means then there's going to be application. Fire means action. Fire means getting things done, right? So before we saw the cinder done and the fire of this commitment to Krishna and all that, that one's life is dedicated to service to Krishna, you know, in the way of sacrifice, that the yajna and that kind of element is being done. And so then that's the action where it's always absorbed in Krishna consciousness, because the Abhideya is always the constant factor, right? The idea, we always look at it, when I get my goal, then I can sit back, right? You know, I work hard, get all the things established, then when I get older, I'll retire and I'll sit back and just enjoy. Right. But when that happens, you're not happy because you want to do something. You can't just sit back all day. You know, it's nice for a day or two when you haven't done anything or even a few weeks, but you can't do that as a lifestyle. Right. So therefore, action is always there. The aspect that there's always something going on. That's always important. So Agni, the fire, means there's always something going on. That's why the Abhideya is the central feature of the philosophy. Means it's what, you know, when you say Abhida, means potency, is what the actual verse means. And so then what its purpose is, its real meaning is the application. Now it's going to be in the context of I'm going to be applying it something, but to please Krishna based on the situation I'm in. So I have to take the situations that there and bring it in line with what it is, how I want to please Krishna. And then that's the Abhideya. So that's always going on, right? So being in this, you know, in the fire, right? Being in the fire of this, like the Sankirtan movement, the fire of the Sankirtan movement. It's compared to our the same, the yajna is seven you know, he's had, I think he has seven different tongues. He has, I think, three legs and different things. So all these are based on what sacrifice does. And so Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his explanation, then shows how the Sankirtan Yajna has all these different features of Agni, which ones are his legs, which ones are his eyes, which ones are his tongues, which are like this. And so all these different features then are the aspect as the fire, as the constant thing like that. And for the highest wealth and sons, so highest wealth means that it's going to be, you know, the actual detachment from the material nature and attachment to Krishna. Like it said, renunciation is the wealth of the Brahmins, that they can give up the material world. That's the special thing, because people can do everything. They can't necessarily give up the world. Like that pastime, you know, we tell with Diogenes and Alexander the Great, that, you know, when a question comes up, and that Diogenes is not so impressed with any material arrangements or facilities, or that position that Alexander holds, that he could give him all kinds of facilities. He's not interested. And so as they're leaving after Alexander took his leave, and they're walking away, him with his other, you know, generals and advisors and commanders, then they're all kind of laughing. What a fool. He could get anything, you know, that you could desire. And he leaves it all to live in this barrel like that. And Alexander said, if I wasn't Alexander, meaning he's the emperor, I would want to be him. But in other words, the emperor and him are on an equal level. In fact, he's higher, because the king has all these things, but the point is this guy doesn't need them. See, it's one thing, you want them and don't have them. You know, it's like the Shudra. He wants everything but doesn't have it. Right? And so he lives simply due according to his means, right? That the Vaishya wants everything, and he uses his money to get it. You know, Kshatriya wants everything and uses his influence to get it. Right? And the Brahmin, you know, is not interested in everything. So actually, that's his wealth. It's actually a higher wealth, because it's not needed. And then you can go beyond the material world, because material world is designed to go back to Godhead. That's what it's for. It doesn't have another purpose. Right? So then one wants to see that's there. So that's the highest wealth. Is devotional service, you know, or to see whatever your religious activities, that is always engaged in yajna, and always engaged to satisfy the Lord. That's actual wealth. And sons, and real sons, will be those who understand the position, understand devotional service, and take that up seriously and try to follow that. That's real sons, right? So it'll be in that context. And Agni has given you to me, right? So then, you know, down like this. So once it's come to that point of that action, all those good qualities, the situation and goodness, the steady mind, the satisfaction, then the refinedness that's there, you know, in dealing with things, you're doing everything technically correct, but also in a refined way. And then there's the dynamic of always being active, always being engaged in something, and like that. And then now one comes to the relationship. Just like the boy, he's established in his duties as a brahmachari and all those things. He learns to be active. He learns to be do things that are appropriate and proper, you know, like that. He learns all those acts. And then if he, you know, feels it's appropriate, then he graduates and then gets married. Right. So that's then how it will go. So now this has been, you know, she's gone through that on her side. He's gone through this on this side. Now they're a good match. Okay. So good. The groom should lead the bride to the kusa mat on the west side of the fire, so that her right foot touches the border of the kusa mat. He should make her say. Okay. So now they've done all this. What, they've been on the south side of the fire. In other words, the yajna is facing, you know, east, whatever it is. So to his right, that side, that's where all these rituals have been going on up to now. Now they come to the to the fire, to the place where the hog tree would offer oblations into the fire, right? And then he should make her say. And so then this is one of the few lines she actually says in the whole wedding ceremony, because we see is that even though the whole wedding ceremony is for her benefit, her blessings, and her purification, all the rituals and all the lines are all said by someone else, generally. She may do activities, but she's not really saying things like that. You know, it just makes it very, you know, pleasant for her. You know, she doesn't have to worry about it. She says that, you know, she says the thing, you know, let the path my husband treads be prepared for me. May I enter into his house in bliss and safety. And then someone in the back goes, speak up, we couldn't hear you, you know, like that. And, you know, that, you know, stuff like that. You don't want all these stupidness happening. So point is it's just very, very simple. She says a few lines, but they're very significant. So here the whole point is that the path that the husband treads be prepared for me, meaning she's going to follow that path. May I enter into his house in bliss and safety, right? So then, you know, we see here is that the husband following what he's doing. So in other words, he's treading a path, right? You have to be, if you're treading, you're going somewhere. You know, something's happening. If in water, you're afloat. You stop treading, you sink. You're not treading, you're not moving forward. So the whole point is the husband is following a path. And that path is then, you know, as we see what's here, is towards Krishna. So the path of him trying to be Krishna conscious, trying to make everything in his life Krishna conscious, then she is taking part in that. She's prepared to take in part with that. So he's doing service, she's doing service, that comes together, and now there's a combined effort how to follow that. So it means within that context of the path that he's taking, now within that, then she has her own individuality in which she, you know, will do this, will do that, and trying to adjust. But it's within his path. It's not that, oh, she has her path and he has his path and things like that. And no, this is that they both is one path, because it's the path recommended by Krishna. And so it's either the path of the brahmachari he's taking, or it's the path as a grihastha. So that means it's that same path as a grihastha. She joins that path now. She's been following the path of what's going on in her family like that. Now she joins the path that the husband is following. Right? So it's a combination. He comes to that, she comes to that, and then it works.
Right? Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes, gee, please.
So I think this is where the Sindhuradana whole thing ends. After this, then there is Ajya.
Yes, Homa. Yes. Means the Sindhur is just that one putting the Sindhur, and then after that saying about how then he's received coming down like this from Soma's Aniruddha, and then like that, because he said in the beginning this bride belongs to Prajapati Vishnu. Like that, you know, so we see this element here, the Prajapati also is its Lord, but it also has that element of fire, of Agni, you know, of action. So it belongs to there. That's meant is the Lord's servant and action and service to the Lord, not just she's a devotee of the Lord in thought. She can do that on her own time, but no, this is the action that's there. Yes, please.
So basically it signifies mutual commitment then.
Yes, means now as being, there is the aspect that they're going to be together by that mutual, the father accepting the bride, I mean the groom, him saying, you know, he accepts, then he gives the daughter, you know, she comes, gives the garland, she accepts him, he reciprocates what she's done, then she's given to him, and then the whole thing is there. And so then we see that's there. Now it's that commitment that they're going to go forward. Because this is now, the situation was before. Okay, you're the dude, you know, she's the girl. And so then, okay, you're going to be together and all this and that. Everyone accepts that. Now it's a matter of doing something. So it's going to be, you know, it means because we also saw before and all that, then they were saying according to the philosophy, how everything in the universe is Krishna, everything's there. He's the inspiring element. We should then follow in that, see ourselves, see the world and ourselves in the context of how it relates to Krishna and be inspired in Krishna's service. And that's how there's the basis of how they're going to see the Grihastha Ashram and the aspects that they do. Then that's the situational. So you're saying you're somebody, you can see now it's moving more to the Abhideya kind of aspect. You know, the personal interaction, the personal relationship. Before it was more of a formal element that, okay, now this is going to be potential husband and wife. It's accepted. These are the arrangements. But now it's getting down to the actual interaction. You know, the duties themselves. Is that okay?
Yes, yes. No.
Yeah, so you see, it's a natural flow, is that because it's coming from Krishna, it's going to be perfect. So it's going to have all the elements to this. Nothing's going to be left out. And it's not that this has come from, so many generations, and then you just see what's practical, what works, what didn't work, you know, like that. And so this is coming from the Lord. So because this is what his will is, this is then, and he's perfect. Therefore, when the marriage soma or the samskars come from him, then it's already perfect because he's perfect. So it already perfectly arranges for the human being, their elevation and how they can come back to him. And it also is so nice that this is the wedding ceremony for humans, you know, who like that. And so then it's a matter of them appreciating, you know, how everything's connected to the Lord, how they do everything connected to the Lord. Now, whether they see simply the Lord as the authority and he has a body of rules that then they follow and then they'll get good facilities through karma, or then, you know, it's also this element of knowledge, then they'll get that knowledge and detachment, you know, or it's like they have that more spiritual platform where you're accepting God as a person and all that, but don't necessarily have specifically a relation with him other than he's still the controller of everything like that. In other words, he's the controller of the Brahman, of the unlimited, of the, you know, of, you know, unlimited knowledge, this, that. He's controller of that, like that. Mm-hmm. But him himself as a person is not being acknowledged. Then you come to the fourth one, where then you acknowledge the Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then worship, surrender to him as a devotee, because those other stages, they also understand his position as the authority, but it's just how far they're taking it. How are they bringing it to the spiritual platform? Are they seeing, you know, him as a person, you know? And then you're bringing the point of, as a person, then you want to please him. So any of these levels, it will work at, you know. And even if one doesn't see even that, it'll still work for the person on the other lower levels, because then you know is that you know, this is the way that socially everything will function and everything like that. You still have social laws and all that. And yes, there is the element of science, so there's going to be an aspect of understanding that we're not going against, you know, at least what we understand of the laws of nature. So within that context, they'll work. Or if it's on the platform of sense gratification, by this regulation, by this refinement, by this cooperation, then, you know, all nice facilities will be there and everything. Does that make sense? Because you see that wealth and sons, so that's going to be there, whether you're looking at it from the anamoy, pranamoy, anything like this, any level like that. So that's what's so perfect, is that it seamlessly works from the lowest up to the highest. And you don't have to adjust anything, especially because the acharya has already gone through and removed the elements, or adjusted the elements, or brought us to, instead of seeing it at a lower level like most people will see, he brings it to the highest level of understanding. And so that there is nothing here that the pure devotees couldn't do. There's nothing to be dropped. There's nothing to be removed. But you can simplify it if it's just a matter of time and facility, or the audience, you know, who you're dealing with. So you can do this whole thing in, you know, half an hour, you know, like that. Or you can do it in a much bigger thing. It's just a matter of where you put your emphasis. Is that okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, yes. But it's not the end of the main part of the wedding. This is just now, you know, they put together, and now, and then he's saying, okay, then, you know, they have this relationship, you know, she's been given to me, and he's acknowledging that acceptance of that. Then she's saying, you know, having accepted her and that, and within the context of sacrifice and all that, then she says, let me follow that path of sacrifice that he's following. And then he says, may I enter into his house in bliss and safety. right? Because Krishna mentions about how the living entity, you know, is always looking for gain and safety, right? So when you have gain, that being applied, then, you know, one, that's what you're going to get your happiness from, and having those facilities and all that, then there's the safety. So the safety is also on all the different levels, you know, so, you know, the physical level, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual. So that's the whole point, is that the safety means that your devotional service is there, then you're as an individual that's being taken care of like that. And the bliss is going to be based on, bliss can only happen when it's happening in the context of relationships. When relationships are done appropriately, then the experience gained through that, because it's being done on a personal platform, then that is the, what we're talking about as the element of the bliss, right? In the material world, the maximum you get is happiness, but talking about, we're seeing in the spiritual context. That's why I'm using this bliss, right? And so the point is that it's his house. It's, you know, has all the facility. It has all those things. She's going to be safe because it is there and it's constant, and there is a consistency there. And because all the facilities are there for relationships and interaction, and that's maintained, then it will also be that bliss. So, you know, if the environment is not so favorable on all that, then it won't be bliss and safety. And so then if bliss and safety is not there, then you see the path the husband treads then also becomes weak. Because where's the relationship? So then one has to just serve Krishna the best you can. That makes sense? You know, so this is then what is hoped for. Means this is the, in essence, and what's going on. Right? Okay. Then the Ajahoma. The bride should sit on the mat facing the fire on the groom's right side, right? So now it's that they're going to sit down, you know, on that western side of the fire. That means before, when I said that they're coming up to the mat, that's for this Ajahsamskar. You know, then after that, then she'll stand on the mat that's there where you do the Hotri thing. Because otherwise, if the groom is doing it, his mat to do the yajna, hers is the one right next to it. So she stands there, says it, then they sit down, right? Then, but if you have the Hotri there, then you have to have them back a little bit and over to the right so that they can be there for these things. And the Hotri is doing all these on their behalf. If not, then you have them just stand where they're standing and all that, but, and then, you know, but still it goes on. Okay. The bride should sit on the mat facing the fire on the groom's right side, right? Because make sure it's right, not left. It's very specific that it's right now, because they're not fully married yet. You know, it's in the process, but it's not there, because it's in the process. It's just like if you're cooking something, it is going to be that preparation. It's understood that's what it's going to be, but until it's cooked, it's not done. You can't halfway through cooking say, okay, great, and then take it and start eating it, because it won't be cooked. Right? Like that. The groom should put ghee-soaked wood into the fire without mantra, right? Because they've been talking so much, so many rituals, then you have to keep putting. So the last was the Amatrika Homa, right? That was there, and then there was the 20 sticks before. The Dream Sati, you know, whatever it is, Kashta Homa, whatever. So then that's being done. You're putting wood there. Then again, then it's being putting Amatrika. When you finish Grishandika, they're doing these rites. Now again, he puts wood on the fire. So if he's doing it, he can't do anything in between. So these are natural things. They have a smaller fire. It can be managed this way. And so, but if you have a bigger thing, then of course the assistants to the Hotri or the Hotri themselves can be maintaining the fire around, but in any case, it's put on at this point. So in other words, this is the minimum it's put. And if you need, for the size of the fire and how it's going and that, you can be putting more than this. In other words, it's not less than this. You know, it's just like Julan, you have it once a year. So you don't do it less than that once a year. You can do it at other major festivals or occasions or that, or even do it every day. But at least minimum, it's got to be that much. Right. So in the same way, is that here is that at least that much you're putting ghee and wood on the fire. but it's always ghee soaked wood. So even if you're putting, like, the kids are there, or someone's putting, or the assistant's just putting the wood, or putting cow dung, whatever you're putting, but after they put, then you should put ghee on it. Not just only when you're offering. No, there should already be ghee on the wood. Then you're making the offering, because he's you know, the wood is being eating that, so it should already have ghee. Right? It's just like you get ghee on the chapati or on the rice, and then you have what will be eaten with it, in the various vegetables on that that also have ghee. Does that make sense? So no dried chapatis here. You know. Then perform Vyasta Samasta Mahavyarati Homa with ghee. So I offer oblations to the Bhumandala, I offer oblations to the space between heavens and earth, Bhuva, and I offer oblations to the upper planetary system, Swa. Right? So Bhurbhuva Swa. And then Bhurbhuva Swa, together I offer oblations to the manifested universe. So the three places, and then the whole thing together. So every time you start, because here Om is always going to be Krishna, the Bhurbhuva Swa is the basis on which the next part of the mantra, like that, and then after that comes whatever is the specific. Then it comes the Gayatri, and then comes the Samhitas. Right? So Bhurbhuva Swa is everything's based on that, because you have, again, the place of action, the place of existence, and the place of, you know, your results or happiness, like that. So those are always going to be there. It always has these elements of three. And so then yes.
In the Vyasta Samasta Mahavyaharati Homa, then the particular avatar of Lord whom we offer it to, what is the significance when you say Om Bhur Swaha Idam Vishnavedam Namama?
Oh, okay, yes. I forgot about that. Because the others, because everything else is, yeah, has it specific who it's offered to. Yeah, because up to now, then we're just starting that. Well, Vishnu, he's the Lord of sacrifice, like that. Achyuta means, you know, that there's no, you know, infallible, that nothing go wrong, and that it's always perfect. And so then, you, like that. And then Ananta, you know, means he holds everything up. He maintains like this. So altogether, then the whole thing, everything's based on, you know, how Krishna has entered everything and they're like that. So that's the whole unlimited universe. And then within that, you have specifics in the Bhurbhuva Swa. And Narayana then is there, is that he's the upper planetary system. So he's the goal. He's the, you know, he's the goal. Means Vishnu is the existence of things, and Achyuta. So then by following in his footsteps, doing things that he recommends, how he recommends it, then you're infallible. You know, your Abhideya is proper. So you see, you have the elements then going there, it all works. Our understanding is infallible. It's all being done according to Vishnu and like that. That make any sense, sir?
Yes.
Yeah, so you always have to see in the context of what's there and the names, and it's always going to match. So the acharyas picked all these things, or they're coming from the shastra like this. There's a reason for it. It's not just, oh, we could put anything. You know, it's like, you know, it's just, but it's not a point to get so distracted on that you get into the ritualistic element of it and miss the whole point of what it's for. So that's why you see when it's seen in the context of how it serves for your devotional service, you see it's very nice. You could take any one of these verses and give a whole class on it. You know, like we take a Bhagavatam verse, one verse, and give a whole class. You could take one of these and give a whole class, you know, nicely in our philosophy and everything like that. You know, but some will say, okay, that's nice, but what's the real reason? No, this is the real reason. The other thing is, what is the technique in which you connect the conditioning? So that's the problem, because we think inductively, we think that the mechanics of it are the real reason. You know, it's just like, okay, the guy died, you know, and oh yes, that's because these molecules, you know, had become, you know, weak and that, and so then they broke apart and all that, and so that's why he died. But it's actually, no, his karma is up. It was time to leave the body, and so therefore, when it was time to go, super soul left. When super soul goes, the soul goes with them, you know, along with all, you know, along with the subtle body. And so, you know, the external, because they left, therefore these things happen. Right? Because you can say, no, that'll cause it, that, but there's people that have that, it doesn't. Like, I remember, I can't remember when it was, but there was some guy, I remember seeing as a kid, who he was out hunting or stuff like that, or out in the woods and stuff, and something happened. They were hunting with bows and arrows, right? You know, they're in, I think it was in Oregon. So it's like, you know, Oregon or Colorado, you know, places where they do stuff like this. They have that mentality that, you know, back to the earth, back to nature and all that. And so, but of course, the bow and arrow they have is not something they made. It's some, you know, amazing technical thing like that. And so it had one of these arrows on it, special arrows, and it also had a tip that it's razor blades, but there's two of them like that. It's a cross, you know, and very long and pointed. The arrow tips like generally about that long. Sometimes they're shorter, depending on what you're dealing with, like that. And that kind of arrow tip goes through anything, right? So then he's out there, and whatever it is, whatever happens, how it worked out, he gets shot with one of these arrows. It goes through one of his eyes, I think his left eye. And the tip of the arrow, you know, because it's so sharp and that, is sticking out the back of his skull. The guy's not dead. It's just like, you know, it hurts, but, and it's not, I think that he's not even that he's unconscious. Right? And then they go, and then the doctors, how they can't pull it out the other way, you know, like that. So they cut off the, and the arrow's there. So they cut a hole in the back of his skull and then pull the whole thing out, you know, and I guess take out the arrow and glue that part of his skull back on like that. So, you know, he ended up blind and all that, but otherwise everything else, all the functions were there and it was going on. So he's not supposed to die. Someone else, I would have killed him. So the point is, when your time's up, the soul leaves. When the super soul goes and the soul leaves, that's when you die. Because otherwise, you know, you see so many things happen. People fall off buildings and they're fine. Other people trip and they die. Literally, they trip, fall on the sidewalk, and they're dead. While someone else falls off a 10-story building, somehow or another, not dead. You know, or one guy was... So one devotee was telling me, he was sitting next to one person. He looked a little nervous, and he wouldn't put on his seatbelt. He'd take it when the, you know, the stewardess would come by. He'd put it so it looks like it's on, but as soon as she's gone and the takeoff, he opens it. And he was asking, well, why don't you put on your seatbelt? He says, because previously I was in an airplane crash. I didn't have my seatbelt on. Somehow, so many others had their seatbelt on. The plane, when it hit, it broke in half, or, you know, broke open. And because I didn't have a seatbelt, I went flying out. And those who had the seatbelts on, they were stuck in the airplane. They didn't fly out. The plane blew up. They died. He didn't. So airplane crash, you know, generally you think of airplane crash, you think dead. This guy didn't die. So that's the whole thing. It's all up to when Krishna says you go, you go. That's it. It doesn't, it's not one nanosecond more, you know, unless Krishna allows it. You know, like with Srila Prabhupada, his devotees were always asking Prabhupada to stay, and he said so much work. Then when in the last month it was there and his health wasn't very good, Prabhupada asked the devotees, go see this particular astrologer. And, you know, find out what are the timings and, you know, how it's going on the health, you know, because you have the Mrityu Kartika is when you'll die. There's different elements in the chart, points in the chart where you could die. So they may not know exactly which one it is, but they know these are the times when you would die, you know, or they know it's so severe, those points, that generally speaking, it just means you die. So they went to the person and gave him the details. They made the chart, look through, look for what he says. And then when he's looking at it and all that, he says, no, he should have died 2 years ago. He's alive now just because, you know, he's supposed to be. Right? So that's the whole point. Krishna wills, you're there. Krishna doesn't, you go. That's why when the devotees were saying, please stay, Prabhupada said, it's up to Krishna. That's why he said, pray to Krishna, don't tell me. So then they had that famous prayer, you know, that Krishna, if you so desire, then that's Srila Prabhupada, you know, like this. So that's the whole point, is that it all is based on Krishna's in control and all that. When one sees that and sees everything in connection to the Lord, then we see the Bhurbhuvaswa, then everything is connected to the Lord. Like that, then he becomes the goal. He is the universe. He is the sacrifice within the universe. He is the goal within the universe. So we see achyuta means how you see everything. The situation is infallible. Like that, then your performance of your sacrifice or yajna then is all directed at Vishnu, and then the ultimate goal then is to please Narayan, and Narayan will come to him.
Yes, Maharaj. Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. Yeah. She should then, you know, so it does that. She should then stand, and while touching the right shoulder of the groom with her right hand, the groom should offer 6 oblations of ghee sing, right? So they first sit down and all that. He does the yasta samana like that. Then after that, she stands and stands behind him, you know, touching the right shoulder. Because it said if you touch the right shoulder, then it's the same benefit. Right? If somebody's doing, like you see sometimes, you know, everybody wants to be part, and then you just touch the shoulder. Like I've seen that. Someone's doing the Purnahuti or that. Someone else comes, they come up behind and touch. Or someone's giving something or doing an artik, and they come up and touch. And sometimes you see for fun, you see this whole kind of line like that. You know, one senior devotee is there, you know, one of the, like that. And then another senior is just behind him, touching him, and another one's touching him, you know, or a few of them come up and touch his elbow like this. And you know, so they know. So it's that principle. So it's there. So it said, let Vishnu go first among all beings. Let him release the bride's children from the ropes of death. May Lord Achyuta agree to this, so that this woman will never lament the death of a son. Right? So then this is offered to Vishnu. Yeah, well, it said here, let Vishnu. So then, you know, he let him go first as first of all, because he is the senior one. So in other words, we see that Krishna is the one, that everything is based on that, that Krishna is that he's the supreme. So everything goes through him. Everything is directed at him, like we saw before. We don't have to worship the demigods or anything like that. And then let him release the bride's children from the ropes of death. You know, may Lord Achyuta, because he's infallible, may it be, you know, perfect, and may it work according to this. And so, because according to the rule, I mean, the standard procedure, children don't die before the parents. Parents die before the children, right? Just like grandparents first, then parents, then children like this, and then grandchildren. It goes like that. There's an order like that. And so, because it's going to be like that, naturally, if parents die, then, you know, the children are going to feel bad, but that's just life. That's just the way it is. You can't say it shouldn't happen. But if the children die before the parents, that then is something is like, why is this happening? Right? It's not standard. So therefore, through this purification, through this Ajahoma, for the bride's welfare, then this is the, you know, one of the main things, that the children, you know, are living there. So especially here it says death of the son, that the son, because the whole idea of the son will grow up and then take care of the mother, you know, when she's older, right? Because the husband, either then, you know, they're going off of vanaprastha, they may stay together like that, or he may take sannyas. So in any case, then, if she's staying, you know, in other words, if she's with the husband as vanaprastha, then he's taking care. But if she comes and spends time with the family and he remains in the forest, then the sun will take care, you know, so it's always that, you know, someone's there, right? And may the Lord agree to this. It's not that because I said so, therefore it should happen. Then the next, may Krishna protect her in household life. May he give her children until old age. May she live without absence of children at her breast. May she be a mother knowing the bliss of raising children. Right? So then, I say, you know, so may Krishna protect her in household life. So we see Vishnu. Then, you know, we have the formality of that and the situational things there and, you know, how things are done. Then we see Zilla Krishna, then now we have the aspect of he is the one who protects, he's the one who takes care, he's the one with the highest happiness, all these aspects. So in household life, then they go, may she have her children till old age, like you said, that they don't die, so then they're all there. And she live without absence of children at her breast, may, you know, the children always be there to interact with and things like that. You know, in other words, if the normal things are going on in the family, then the children are always around. Of course, you know, daughters will grow up, get married, go to another household, but they'll regularly come and visit, you know, things like that. And then there'll be the grandchildren. So all these like that. So there's always going to be there. So the point is, if her children are there, and then when they get married, they have children. And that, so that either the children are always there by just being present, or there's always going to be younger kids in the whole family. So even she's a grandmother, there's the young children. And depending on if they got married earlier and all that, then they live long. So then they're going to, and the children don't wait until they're, you know, 40 years old and have gotten their career together to get married and have children. Then she may even see great grandchildren. So there's always going to be children there, right? May she be a mother, knowing the bliss of raising children. So, you know, that she appreciates that relationship, interacting with the children and that, and taking care and having that kind of mood and relationship. So specifically, it'll be there. There's the aspect of the mother, but it also then, this is specifically her children, but it also then applies to others in the family, because she's going to have some relationships in the family, and so then there's going to be something there. Then there's all those children, so she'll also have a very nice relationship with them, right? And then, okay, may Hari protect your back and Vishnu your thighs. May Narayana protect your two breasts. May Krishna protect your sons until they wear cloth. May Ananta and all his avatars protect you from behind. Right, so then he's giving all the different aspects that it's like a kavacha that the Lord protect, you know, because Hari, you know, takes or gives. So then also then he protects your back. So, you know, the Vaishnavas, or in this case, the lady that Hari's got your back, you know, so this is the, right, Vishnu, your thighs, you see, is everything's moving and all that, Bhumandalas, all the activity, you move on your thighs. And all that, and that also is that aspect of, you know, the health, the digestion, the things, the movement, all that. Narayan, protect your two breasts, because then you have the element of them. They're the lords of the Bhagavatam, that everything's then in connection with Krishna. So the breasts are like the seat of like the emotions and all that. So may all that be all connected nicely with the Lord and, you know, not disturbed. And Krishna protect them until they wear cloth, right? So in other words, you see as the little kids can walk around with not a whole lot of clothes on, you know, based up to five, but especially the first few years. But, you know, in India, you see it, or even wider, the whole of Asia, up to five. Once you're going to go to school, because five is that when things become formal, now you wear clothes, you do things like that. But before, up to that time, if you just walk around in your underwear, you're good enough. And if you're real small, you walk around with no clothes on, no one's going to complain. And then Ananta, you know, so up to that point, because up to that point, then they're also known as Kumara. And Kumara means it's delicate that they could, you know, die, because they're not very strong, they're not very powerful, they can't take care of themselves. And so if someone's taking care very nicely, then they may not die. So may Krishna then, you know, protect and take care. So in other words, it's all about affection, all that, you're seeing nicely that they're taking care. So then at five, then they go and become Pauganda, you know, like that. May Ananta and all his avatars protect you from behind, right? So Hari is protecting. and all the Ananta and all his avatars, you know, so the unlimited aspect and all the various aspects of the Lord's pastimes and all that, we may be always, so the background is always going to be that Krishna consciousness being always absorbed in hearing the name, form, quality, and pastimes of the Lord. Right? Are we doing on time? Okay, still in time. Then the next, may lamentation not arise in your house at night. Let weeping women enter other houses. May you not be weeping, striking your breast in sorrow. May you be glorious, living as a partner in your husband's house, seeing children, maintaining nobility of body and mind. Right? So may lamentation not arise in the house at night, because, you know, in the day, then there's so many duties and all that. But then at night, then, you know, that's then when there's, one can sit on your own, and so then they're disturbed. Let weeping women enter other houses. That doesn't mean, you know, just, you know, whatever it is like that. Specifically, when you see is that anything is inauspicious is being removed, it's sent to those who are opposed to the Vedic version. Those who are opposed to the Vedas and following the Vedas, you know, in other words, the Mlechas, that's where it's sent. So you'll see at other points, you know, it says, you know, the destroyer of death and all these different things. So these destroyers of good, you know, auspiciousness, that they go somewhere else, you know. And so that means they go to the places, those individuals and their houses and that, of those who are opposed to the Vedic version. You know, and since there's so many living entities like that, that little bit of whatever it is, bad karma or, you know, whatever it is from previous lives and that, that may cause any of this, that little bit for one person, you know, is a lot. But when you take that and distribute it between, you know, millions and billions of living entities, it's not very much. So it's not that, you know, you do this sacrifice and then, you know, your neighbor and his whole family die and the whole house implodes and, you know, like that. You know, it's distributed, so no one's actually disturbed, but it goes to the proper place, right? May it be glorious. I mean, it's always, you know, engaged in, you know, the actually in the duties and all that. You know, living is there, living as a partner in your husband's house. You know that it's a cooperation there. Seeing children, maintaining nobility of body and mind, that, you know, in other words, there's that proper respect, there's a proper interaction. So, you know, physically, mentally, then everything is properly there. It's glorious. It's cultured. There's no, you know, one doesn't have these elements of lack of culture like that. Then I free myself from the noose of great sins, causing absence of offspring and death of sons. Right, so either no sons coming or death of sons. Then we see is that a noose of great sins. In other words, that's coming from previous lives, that there's some reason that there's just something that's just not happening. Discard this garland from the head. I fling it to the enemies of righteous life. Okay, well, here it says the technical point here. That's where it goes. You know, it says the other house is flung to the enemies of righteous life. So in other words, following the Vedas, following that, or it could also mean just like even in the modern context, people who are righteous do, you know, what's is accepted on the religious platform as right, be nice, be kind to others, don't steal, all these things that people who are opposed to that, it goes to them. So in any case, as long as there's anything where they're following the Lord on some level or following the devotees and acknowledging that this is the basis for defining what is right and wrong, then it's not them that it goes to. It'll be those who have their own idea of what to do and don't care for the tradition, don't care for the religious things, don't whatever is established as what should be. In other words, you can see your modern bureaucratic socialist mentality, this more liberal mentality, where they don't like religion, where they don't like, they're opposed to religion. They're opposed to, you know, tradition. They're opposed to anything that's that different than what they want. It goes to them. Like that. So, therefore, then we can see is that this is one of the elements why it's mentioned here so much, you know, the importance of it, because then we see is that when you're coming into this life, you're coming with the baggage from last life. You may not have the remembrance of it. You may not have the, you know, the particular skills or that from whatever it is that your whatever is your positions in last life, but the reactions to your what you've done, if it's strong enough that it goes over to the next life, you know, or, you know, so many, whatever it is, then you're trying to purify yourself of that. You can't say is that, you know, why is this happening to me? It's happening because this is from before. You've done something in the past that this is what's supposed to happen. So don't worry about why did it happen. Worry about what you can do to move forward in that position. You can't change what happened. You can adjust with what you can do with what happened. You know, like that. So then he's pointing out is, so therefore, with these, may I be purified of this, and so that I move forward and don't have these problems. Right? Then, may death go elsewhere and may immortality come to me. Right? So, you know, death, you know, meaning here is one is you have death is the aspect, meaning, you know, that you leave the body, meaning that untimely, you know, and may immortality come to me. So immortality will always be understood as elevating to a higher position, you know. So for us, immortality means the actual is in establishing oneself in relationship with Krishna and going back to Godhead. That's then the actual immortality, or if one's on the platform of karma, yon, and liberation, or going to the heavenly planets, like that is what would be here. May vaivasvata move or remove all cause of fear. Go death upon some distant path, not on the path of saintly men. So that means not on the path of those who are saintly, who are righteous, like that, but those who are against righteousness, let it go on that. So since distant path, in other words, there's the middle path going towards Krishna, and then, you know, there's all these other ideas. Death, do not harm my valiant children. I say this to you who can see and hear. Right? So it's not that he's just saying this and does anybody say it, but he says that here, who can see and hear. He can see what's happening everywhere. He can hear what's happening. And so then, So also, point also the offspring of sons can also mean that they don't move forward in the path. They go into a more materialistic path. And so then that, you know, that takes them away from Krishna. So you can say it's impious like that. It can also be seen in that kind of context, because even they have sons and they may decide on their own path and leave the path of the Krishna consciousness or the path followed of righteousness followed by the family, you know, so it can be all these aspects. Then the groom should perform Vyasta Samasta Mahavyaraki Homa with ghee. Then he offers oblation of the Bhu Mandala to the Bhuvar Mandala and the Swa Mandala, you know, to a Vishnu, Achyuta, and Narayana. And that. And so then that, and to the whole universe. So that then finishes that aspect, then where he's given the you know, the blessings and that for the wife's welfare, right? You know, because one is things will go nice, it'll be religious, it'll move forward. And also if the children are there, the sons are there, they don't die. And they're there, then of course, then things go much more smoothly, more brightly. There's more inspiration. But otherwise, then it's more of a simple life, that of vanaprastha. The couple aren't having children. Either they're not planning to, or they find doesn't, or then they can always move into the vanaprastha kind of things where you maintain nicely what you're doing, that you're comfortable and all that, and you know, prepare for the future and all that. But at the same time, you don't try to expand beyond. You don't have to buy that, you know, however it is, that, you know, 4-bedroom house, you know, with a 2-car, you know, whatever it is, 4-car garage, because if there's no children, then who's going to be staying in those rooms? Right? So it's just husband or wife, and they have a guest room, you know, for other relatives or friends to come. So they don't have to go beyond just a simple house. And if that's easy to take care of and all that, then they do. If that's even too much, because they'd rather be engaged in more things. Then they'll have something more simple that just works for what they're doing, so they can focus more and more time on service to Krishna. Right? But so the point is because the children are there, because of that, then it goes forward very nicely. Things naturally expand how they naturally do. And, you know, like that, as you can see before, as they would expand, get the bigger things, the bigger house, then the son would live in that house. The parents technically would be living with him. It would be, you know, he would be in charge of the house, and the parents would have their facility. They'd be there. And then when they leave, then it's his. And then when he goes, then he gives it to his son. And like that, it just keeps going like that. You know, it's not like the modern where, you know, they get the whole, all the facilities and the kids grow up, get married, go live different places around the world. Now it's just the two of them and they're older in this huge house. Now what do they do? So then they sell it and then move to small, some smaller place, or, you know, how you say, live permanently on a, you know, cruise liner in the Mediterranean, or, you know, something, you know, like that. But before it would be, it just naturally the house, it would go down and go like that. Yes, okay. So stop here, and then tomorrow we'll do the Ludge Home and Aspakramana, putting popped rice into the fire. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. Jai.